and remodeling.
10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
The headline's disturbing, but like genetically, I thought it kind of made sense. I've always heard that a little bit of inbreeding is good for the bloodlines. I always thought that first cousin was a little bit too close. I thought the sweet spot was second cousin, third cousin type of thing.
Oh, God.
On 1340 WKGN.
Everything's fine in moderation, even inbreeding. You just don't want too much. It's like cauliflower. A little bit's good for you. I can bang my cousin, but my kid can't bang his cousin.
All right, you getting more headlines? Hour 2 coming at you. The Fan Run Studios. Hour 2 headlines. Cody McClure, Collision Course, right now.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
MLB rumors circulating. Bryce Harper apparently turned down multiple $300 million offers. The Yankees range for Manny Machado, it was near $240 million. Bryce Harper apparently wanting more money. Bryce Harper wants the biggest contract ever. He has turned down multiple $300 million offers, according to CBS Sports.
How much is he wanting?
I don't know.
I mean, $300 million for 10 years was the record, right? Isn't that what Machado just signed and they said it was the biggest contract in history?
That's what he just signed with the Padres. Apparently, Bryce Harper wants more. The Phillies could maybe get the job done for 10 years and $326 million?
Jesus.
That's what John Morosi of MLB Network says, that Bryce Harper will go to the Phillies. Apparently, the Giants remain a threat as well. But yeah, 10 years, $326 million would top the highest value ever. That would be quite a deal if Bryce Harper could pull that off.
We'll see.
We will see.
It's crazy to me that hasn't happened yet.
That he's still out there, just floating around?
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah, they'll get it done at some point, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine he'll play baseball next year. Or this year. That'd be wild if he's just like, nah, I'm good. Didn't get the money I wanted. Gonna Le'Veon Bell this up right quick.
Puma received some criticism last night after using the Zion Williamson injury as a sales tactic. Puma Hoops tweeted, wouldn't have happened in the Pumas. If Zion Williamson was wearing Pumas, he wouldn't have blown his shoe out, apparently.
Oh, man. Okay. I mean, it is a bad look for Nike. Nike stock opened up down 1%.
Currently down
1.72% today.
I eagerly await the Clay Travis commentary.
Well, you can't blame this one on Kaepernick.
He could probably find a way.
Nah, you can't blame this one on Kaepernick. It was high before Kaepernick.
If Kaepernick would have stood for the anthem, Zion's shoe wouldn't have blown out. He'll find a way.
I did love that just like a couple days ago, Clay Travis was talking about how Nike quickly got away from Colin Kaepernick. Nike stopped the Kaepernick campaign almost immediately, a week at best. They realized he was toxic for their brand. That was tweeted on the 15th of February after the collusion lawsuit. And then you saw last night Colin Kaepernick tweeted out, and Nike.com, if you go there, the first thing they are showing is the new Colin Kaepernick icon jersey.
Sold out.
That is sold out. Yes, Nike quickly realized Colin Kaepernick was toxic and ended the campaign as they just sold out of a generic number 7 black jersey. Bad for business.
Indeed.
Get way away from him. Nailed it. Very toxic.
SEC scores of note last night. Auburn hammered Arkansas 79-56. Mississippi State able to edge Georgia 68-67. Did you see how that one ended? Georgia was issued for a technical foul after a fan threw an object on the court. Mississippi State hit a free throw, which made it 68-67 with half a second to go in the game. Georgia issued a technical. Someone threw a stuffed bulldog onto the court.
I've always wondered about this. Like, if there was a way for road fans to go and affect the outcome of the game.
Apparently there is.
Like, could you go on the road to a rival's home and just throw stuff on the court at a crucial time, get a technical foul for your team, get kicked out of the game, but help your team get the win?
Maybe we'll start to see that happen more often.
Yeah, it seems that way, right? It seems like this might open the door for that because I thought of it. I thought of it before, and now I have my answer. Hey, throw something on the floor. And that's what Tom Crean said. Tom Crean was mad, saying, this is the first time I've ever seen this happen with no type of warning. Seems like it should be you get one free one, as long as it's not, like, in play. Like, if they would have said, hey, shoot the free throw over. Okay. So did he get three shots to hit one? Like, after he missed the first one? They just let him reshoot the other one?
It was like, he
so
shot.
The technical foul was supposed to be two free throws, but he only shot three total. So maybe that was technically what all they did. They called it a technical, but he just got to reshoot the free throw he missed, essentially.
Yeah, he missed the shot. They called the technical, and then he just shot two more. Made one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So really, they just let him. They called it a technical foul, but really, they just let him reshoot the one.
Yeah, he shot it, made it, and then he missed the second one. There was 0.5 seconds left in the clock. Time expired.
Yeah. So they didn't give him a full-on two-shot technical foul.
Yeah.
They basically just said, eh, you maybe missed that first one because there was a stuffed teddy bear coming up at you from the peripherals. Just go ahead and shoot it again. Maybe you can't actually get a real technical on the crowd. Or maybe that's the punishment. Like, hey, we'll give you one shot if the crowd throws something, not two. Interesting. Colin points out, by the way, last baseball note. He wants the biggest free agent contract. Bryce Harper does. There's been bigger deals, but of teams kind of re-signing their own players, I guess is what the distinction is. He wants to be the biggest one to switch teams. That was just the note.
As opposed to being re-signed to his own team. Yes. Very well.
Like, I think that's what, I mean, with Machado especially. Like, when we said Machado got the biggest deal in you know, contract history, it was for a
free agent.
For a free agent.
For a new team.
Not just the biggest contract ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good to clarify that. The last SEC.
I was confused when they were calling Machado's the biggest deal ever, but I didn't think of that distinction because I was like, I swear A-Rod got a bit more money. And I swear 300 hasn't been the biggest. So that makes sense. That's why I felt the need to clarify.
Just a guy going to a new team.
Yeah, okay.
Florida beat LSU last night.
Big win!
82-77 in overtime. Really helped us out in the conference standings. I refuse to say thank you to Florida, but...
No, thank you, Florida.
But it helped.
No, thanks. Appreciate you, Florida.
We can't thank Florida.
I've already thanked them. It's too late. No take backs. You can't take your thanks back.
I never said it.
I know, I did. But we're attached at the hip, so the official Talk Sports stance on this is thank you, Florida.
With an asterisk that says I never said it.
I don't mind Florida helping Tennessee out. And I don't mind Florida getting some wins and making the tournament or Florida bolstering their resume and helping Tennessee. Because we need some help.
Florida did need that one, too.
Like, if Florida, I mean, Florida secretly, quietly had two really good wins back-to-back. They win at Alabama.
They hammered Alabama, didn't they?
And then went on the road to LSU and won. Pretty solid.
Yeah, that is solid. Florida starting to look like a tournament team.
Yeah, they've played their way back in. Which, by the way, I don't know if Alabama's long for the tournament. The inside of the tournament bubble.
Yeah, things not looking too good right now for Bama. Especially after you lose to A&M.
Yeah.
Did they lose this
week? That was on Tuesday.
That was Tuesday.
And Saturday they lost to Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, they are working their way off the bubble. A headline here that came out yesterday after we went off the air. Tennessee's annual football game against Georgia is moving to November.
All right, let's talk about this next, because this is something that matters. This is something that's going to change the college football season, especially for Tennessee and inside the SEC. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Changes in the SEC schedule.
Changes. Changes.
You keep going, or are you done?
Ben's humming in the background too, but he doesn't have his mic on, so it doesn't sound as
cool.
So
that was it? Okay.
Yeah. All right, well, let's continue.
Changes in the SEC schedule. As, you know, we saw this, I guess, a week or two ago that Missouri and Tennessee might be moving to early October.
Georgia.
Well, the first we saw was Tennessee-Missouri. We saw Tennessee and Missouri when Missouri's schedule came out that it was going to be that they were going to have Tennessee early in the schedule. But then yesterday we found out that that's taking the place of the Georgia game.
Yeah, Ben.
My bad. Sorry.
Yeah, cut your mic off.
Half listened.
Yeah, cut your mic off. But yesterday we saw that Auburn and their protest and Auburn's bitching and complaining has paid off. They've been on a campaign this offseason. Hey, it's not fair that we have to play Alabama and Georgia basically 2 weeks within each other at the end of the season. It's not fair. We got to break it up. They're even trying to go as far and saying, enough's enough. Where we're doing both home and both away in the same year. Which means, you know, every other year they're doing two road games to Alabama and Georgia, which really, really tough, obviously.
Not winnable for Malzahn.
Well, yeah, the road games are impossible. Now, last year they did win the two home games, and it set them up to have a chance for the playoffs, so it kind of benefited them there. But they're saying, hey, we don't want to do the home and home combo. We want to split them up. We'll go on the road every, you know, we'll go on the road to at least one of those teams every year, and we'll get a home game every year. And we don't want it at the end of our schedule anymore. And the SEC pretty quickly caved. Right? I mean, this was a pretty quick process in terms of them being okay with Auburn and Georgia getting their way, especially Auburn getting their way.
Thanks, Auburn.
Kind of shows that they have a pretty good pull, right? Kind of shows that they got it done. You have any problem with them getting it done and the SEC giving into their wishes so quickly?
No. I have no problem with it. I mean, I think if we had gone and asked the same thing, maybe we could have gotten something done.
I mean, because for a long time, like, we've all been saying, hey, can we get the Florida game in November? That'd be nice, right?
That would be nice. The one time we had it at the end of the year, we won. But it took the Twin Towers falling for that to happen. So that's really the only time it's ever been moved from September.
I mean, wouldn't it be nice if, like, every November Florida had to come up to the cold in Knoxville? Wouldn't that be good?
Florida traveling north in the winter?
Yeah. Wouldn't that help out?
That would be really nice. It would be really nice to see Florida have to go north in November, because notoriously Florida does not travel north in November.
But it's not Florida that's moving. It's going to be Tennessee and Georgia. Tennessee and Georgia will play in November in 2020, and I would imagine in November moving forward, at least until 2024, when the scheduling can then change. And I do anticipate we'll see some scheduling changes in 2024. Your initial thoughts on Tennessee-Georgia being moved to November?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I've been waiting on the schedule to change for a long time because it's been basically the same every year. Basically the same every year with Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Missouri coming at the end of the year. And not only does it make your November easier, well, it should have. If we had been good, we should have been undefeated in November like we used to be because we've always played lesser opponents in November. This gives you a chance, if Tennessee ever does get in position to be good again, it gives you a chance to have a resume builder toward the end of the year. You can beat Georgia in November. Now, we're a long way from that mattering probably, but I do think it could end up mattering if you take an early season loss and you can really show off in November by beating a team like Georgia. And to me, it's just cool to be able to play, you know, split it up, not have Georgia right after Florida.
Yeah, I mean, for the last, what seems like the last decade, you've had four killer games right in a row.
That's why October has been so awful, or part of it.
You can buy it to the end of September because, you know, sometimes the Georgia and the Florida game are both at the end of September, and then you just kind of roll in with a tough game to open October and a bye and then Alabama type of thing. Usually is how it's gone the last, you know, 3 or 4 years especially.
Yeah, it's tough. It's very tough. Plus, it gives us a bigger game later in the year. That I think that's what I really like about it. A bigger game when it's colder. You know, because when's the last time we had a huge November home game? Good luck remembering.
Missouri to get to a bowl game.
And that wasn't huge.
No, I know. I mean, 80,000 right. People. Like, 70,000 people showed up.
Right. So, like, getting Georgia in November, it's just cool. It's cool. If we can become good again, that's a cool game to have on the schedule. Like, the big games always happen in November. When Alabama plays Auburn, when Alabama plays LSU, those are always November games. We could start deciding the East in November.
Yeah, I mean, CBS is probably like, thanks. We appreciate this because, remember, last year you gave us Tennessee-Missouri on CBS because there are no other games.
Uh-huh.
So we appreciate that maybe you'll give us a good matchup in that week. We'll see if it ends up being the same exact week as Missouri when Alabama and other schools are doing the SoCon Challenge where they're just playing against some bought teams. But it does split up the four-game stretch, and it does give you one big game every month, right? Florida, September, Alabama, October, and now Georgia, November.
Which is better than having them all bunched right together.
Now, does this help or hurt you in your quest to win the SEC?
I think it helps you because it stretches those tougher games out. It stretches them out on the schedule a little bit instead of having to have them all in one, you know, in a 3 or 4 week span. Definitely think it helps.
Well, I mean, we're working under the assumption that we'll eventually be better than Missouri, right? Like, yeah. Isn't that what's happening here? Because I mean, we are on a 100-34 run against Missouri in the wrong way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think we're assuming that this Missouri game becomes easier. Otherwise, we're just looking at name brands because, yeah, Missouri's not as good as Georgia, but they have kicked our ass.
Yeah, definitely talking name brands here.
And we're assuming that Tennessee gets back to where they should be, which is being better than Missouri.
And competing to win the East. And think about how cool that will be if we can get to the point where we're competing to win the East. I mean, a showdown with Georgia. Imagine that, like, because Alabama and LSU have done this. I'm just saying, I know we're a long way from it. We got a long way to go, but imagine in 2 or 3 years, which, you know, 2020, it'll have to be at least 2 years, but imagine that. Big home game in November in Neyland Stadium, and we're undefeated or something, and Georgia's only got one loss, or we've only got one loss, and it becomes just a really big matchup. And it's in November. That's football weather. It's cold. I like it.
Is there any downside to this?
No.
No downside?
It won't be as hot.
I mean, that's positive. Right. Like, to me, the downside is that it's not Florida. Like, I wish it was Florida. If you'd asked me, would I rather move the Georgia game or the Florida game, I think 90% of the fans are saying move the Florida game, if not 100% of the fans.
I'm pretty cool with it being Georgia, though.
What are the potential downfalls here? Just that now you have another big hurdle at the end of the season?
That's a good thing to me.
Like, there's going to be the chance that this team gets caught slipping in November if they're ever good again. Like, it's weird to think of downfalls whenever Tennessee isn't position to compete right now for championships.
What's the worst that could happen? We don't make a bowl game?
Worst that could happen is that you have a game lead in the SEC East, and then Georgia comes, and you have to play Georgia, and they beat you, and you lose the SEC East with like a game left, and you're just really gut punched there. That's the worst.
That's just how it goes.
But I think from our perspective, as sports fans and people who have to talk about sports for a living, for the last couple of years, we've gotten through the Alabama game and said, okay, now what?
Yeah, that November has sucked forever.
South Carolina's been interesting. But after that, you haven't really... things have really died down. Does this help the local economy? Feels like it does, right? Like, people don't go out and do things for the November-Missouri game, but do they do them for the November-Georgia game? Because at worst, like, at the absolute worst... Over the next couple years. At worst, you are playing spoiler. Potentially, right? Thumbs up from Ben Lee. At worst, Georgia's going to be in the driver's seat for the SEC East, top 10 in the country, and Tennessee will have at least a big game where they can go and try to spring an upset. Think 2017, right? When people showed up thinking, okay, let's try to shock the world, let's try to stop Georgia. They're not that good. It's a chance for a signature win. However you need to try to spin it. No one shows up for Missouri because Missouri's just kind of irrelevant.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, Tennessee's been irrelevant too, because they haven't been good, but people aren't showing up to root against Missouri.
Because what's the payout? Well, you beat Missouri. Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just Missouri.
It's not really...
Something's different.
Oh, I just turned the light off.
That's what it was.
It's kind of hurting my head. Is it okay? Is it bothering you?
No. We should just turn them all off.
What are your thoughts on the schedule change? If you want to give us a call, we'll open the phone lines up next. 865-546-8200. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Talking about Tennessee and Georgia moving their game to November in 2020. I think the big winner here is local business. Like, I do think that will be key. November has been a graveyard for local businesses over the last couple years. Missouri doesn't move the needle, home or away. Georgia will. Georgia will. Because even if Tennessee stinks, you can pull an upset. Hey, you hate Georgia. And if by chance Tennessee is as good as some of these projections are saying, some have Tennessee as a top 20 team, you could have something actually meaningful to play for. You could find yourself thinking, maybe we could win this game. Now, the first time will be 2020, and I don't know if you remember the 2020 schedule, Cody, but...
It's at Georgia.
No, it's at Georgia, but it's also the same year you play Oklahoma.
Oh, yes, which at least is early in the year.
And that's a positive there, right? For moving the game is like, hey, imagine if you hadn't moved it and you had Oklahoma, Georgia, Florida, Alabama all in like a 5-week schedule, you know, all in like a 5-week period or 6-week period.
Why in the Sam hell are we playing Oklahoma? Still, let's buy out of it.
Yeah, who's going to be their quarterback in 2020?
Whoever wins the Heisman.
Like they're going to have Jalen Hurts this year. He'll be gone, right? He'll be gone. He's just got 1 year to play one.
It's going to be some freshman who's currently some junior sitting in high school somewhere in America right now. Needs, if only we could tell him, hey, you're going to beat Tennessee by 38 points, and you're going to go on and win the Heisman Trophy in 2020. Have a good time.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe there'd be another big grad transfer on the market, but I guess that doesn't happen too often, right?
I guarantee whoever it is, they're going to win the Heisman. Don't know his name yet, but he's going to win the Heisman.
He's going to be awesome. Yeah, 2020 schedule, at least you get Georgia moved off of the front of that. Which does just seem really stupid, like to play Oklahoma again. Although it goes back to it, you need big games, I guess, for the city. Maybe this was Fulmer's way of saying, "Hey, sorry for all those neutral site games."
The game's at Oklahoma, though.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, you're bringing them back in 2024.
Looks like it'll be five-star Spencer Rattler.
Five-star Spencer Rattler.
Five-star pro-style quarterback Spencer Rattler, who is actually athletic as well, more of a dual threat.
Of course he is. Can't wait to hear all the Rattler jokes. Oh, Tennessee looks rattled. Whoa.
Snake bitten.
Yeah. What, is Tennessee snake bitten by this performance? Yeah, I can see it now. Yeah. Looks like he's going to slither his way to the Heisman Trophy. Like a snake.
Oh, yeah. I feel like it works.
That didn't work there.
I feel like it works there.
Doesn't it have to be a distasteful joke for that to work?
No, it's just you having to bust through and explain yourself. Like, be a little redundant, be a little obvious. We knew that slithering was like a snake.
Yeah, I did it on purpose.
Well, I feel like you had to get the oh yeah there.
Yeah, okay.
It doesn't have to just be distasteful.
Fair enough.
I mean, Tennessee's depth could be an issue, right? But hopefully by 2020, when this change happens, Tennessee's got more depth and you're not worried about being on your ragtag unit by the time you get to the Georgia game.
Tennessee's depth could be an issue, right? It usually is.
It has been, although, you know, last year there weren't very many injuries. So it looks like you've kind of gotten past that. Which, by the way, I mean, did you read the NFL piece, the NFL.com piece about Jalen Hurd?
No, but I was listening to a show yesterday afternoon and they had some comments on it, so I heard some of the things Hurd said.
Was it the drive?
Yeah, it was okay. The drive.
What were their comments?
I didn't want to give them free pub.
What were their takes on it?
I don't really specifically remember. I just remember Russell reading some of the things that Hurd had said about Butch Jones.
There wasn't really anything new there, right?
No, but at least it was coming straight from Hurd,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was cool, talking about how, you know, yeah, Butch basically just told me to lie, and Butch was a self-serving kind of guy, is how he put it, which we all kind of knew that, but...
Yeah, nothing really new there.
Reason Butch wanted him to go along with the lower body injury instead of the concussion is because he thought that because he didn't have his helmet off, that Butch thought he could have gotten in trouble for it.
I don't want to get in trouble. Please say that your head's not actually hurt.
And Jalen Hurd went along with it.
Because we didn't take your helmet.
I thought it made Jalen Hurd look good.
Yeah, like, I mean, that was kind of my takeaway from it as well, was Jalen explaining himself. Man, he comes across okay in that. He comes across kind of as a sympathetic figure, but it's a lot of stuff that we already kind of had pieced together, right? Like, we knew Butch was lying about the injury. We knew that him calling everything a lower leg injury was nonsense. We knew that Jalen Hurd got duped in the Outback Bowl when all of a sudden we were out running I formation and he had 130 yards and a touchdown and looked good. And then we didn't run the I formation ever again. Like, it was a bait and switch to the fullest extent. Like, we all kind of all knew that.
Well, you could see it, yeah. I do think it's important, though, that he, for the people who are still kind of anti-Jalen Hurd.
Well, I don't know if the people who are anti-Jalen Hurd are going to have their mind changed by that, because at the end of the day, and it's what the NFL.com piece was about, and we'll tweet it out if you haven't read it, at Fox Sports Knox, but he's still going to have to explain himself for quitting on his team. Like, that's still going to be an issue. And that's what he said. And, you know, I don't know how long it took them for them to write this article, but they're going to have 15 minutes of speed dating with NFL prospects at the combine. Like, when he's having to talk to NFL teams, he's got like 15 minutes to try to explain himself.
I think he should just go in and like, when they ask him about it, just say, wouldn't you quit on Butch Jones?
I mean,
just flip it back on him.
I mean, the guy's at Alabama for 2 years, and he still hasn't gotten a position coach job.
You guys
and their whole damn staff left.
Yeah. You guys realize Alvin Kamara was the rookie of the year, and Butch tried to play me over him.
I don't think those two like each other. I don't think he's gonna pump up Alvin Kamara.
Probably not.
Between the Alvin Kamara piece from earlier last year and this one, feels like those two got beef.
You think they don't like each other?
I don't think they like each other.
Why? What did Kamara say?
Talked about having to sit behind Hurd, and Hurd in this piece, they talk about how the Kamara performance at Texas A&M basically was the last thing that kind of split the locker room and pushed him out. I just don't think those two like each other. I might be wrong on that, but from the pieces I've read and just kind of connecting the dots a little bit.
I mean, even when they were both still here, there was like this really awkward interview where like somebody was like, so you guys have like any like nicknames for the two of you? And they were like, I call him Jalen and I call him Alvin. And they just stared at the person.
Didn't they try to come up with a nickname for them at one time?
Thunder and Lightning. They did like a Thunder and Lightning thing for a little bit.
Is that what it was? Yeah.
But then like because someone brought that up, they were like, yeah, like, we call you Thunder and Lightning. Do you guys have like any nicknames like behind the scenes? And he was like, I call him Jalen. And Jalen was like, yeah, he's Alvin.
Maybe they liked each other. I don't know.
Wouldn't that have been tough for Butch to try to manage that?
No.
I mean, what?
Every other coach in the country does it at every position.
Yeah, I know. But if you're Butch, like, he mismanaged it so much. But how could you not try to make that work?
Well, because he's an idiot. And we know that. But, like, you can't tell me that that'd be tough to manage. Like, good coaches have great backs in college football. Like,
well, it doesn't mean it's not tough to manage it.
Fulmer had, like, Stevens, Henry, and
Jamal Lewis.
Yeah, like all at the same time.
I'm aware. I think it could still be kind of tough to manage it, though.
Seems like Darius Geis and Leonard Fournette were boys. Yeah. Seems like Alabama's running backs are always cool with each other. Like, I think you just have to either A, be honest and let people know their role and let people know the deal, or B, be smart enough to give people equal touches. Let them actually get the ball and get the carries and get the touches. You can't be shady and lying about it. I get what you're saying. Like, you know, two big talents, how do you handle it? But coaches do it across the SEC all the time.
Well, yeah, I know they do. I mean, most teams play multiple running backs.
Jeremy Pruitt's going to have to maybe figure that out with his running back position this year, because I don't think Eric Gray, top 300 player, really would love the idea of like not getting a lot of touches this year or not getting an opportunity, especially if they're going to keep Jeremy Banks at running back. Like, there's going to be some egos in the running back room. Tim Jordan, Ty Chandler. It's a problem that you're going to have in college when you're recruiting at a high level. Like I said, LSU always has it. Alabama always has it. I don't think any of them have been as mismanaged as the Tennessee Jalen Hurd, Alvin Kamara situation. When they were talking about Jalen's hand size, though, and his work as a wide receiver, and one scout saying that he should be a second-round pick at worst, does make me really interested in what's going to happen with him. All the other stuff was pretty much just retreads, as far as I was concerned. There wasn't anything there, really, that caught me by surprise. We've all kind of heard and pieced that stuff together. No pun intended on the herd. We've all heard it. It
was just, with a U.
Yeah, no. It was an E.
Heard that.
Yeah, no, there was a... Well, I mean, I know it's not H-E-R-D.
I hear you. Man.
That's an unnecessary correction. I know.
I heard you.
Went to the state spelling bee in sixth grade. Fifth grade.
Congrats.
I lost, but...
Humble brag.
Speller over here.
I was a good speller. I won.
I'm sure you were, yeah.
I won mine.
The state spelling bee?
No, I was at my school.
Yeah. How do you think you'd get to the state spelling bee?
I won it.
Buddy?
I don't know. My school
went... Keep advancing.
I mean, I didn't...
You win the school. You win the city. That's how you do it.
District. Well, let's have a spelling bee then.
Okay.
I'll outspell you right now.
All right, spelling bee up next. Tough guy, you want to go?
Yeah, I'll go. Let's go.
Now, don't do what you do with your other stories where you slightly try to Google it to see. None of that.
I'm going to pull up all these words, these spelling bee words.
Let's keep it at a...
Yeah, let's not go spelling bee level.
What do you mean?
We're not claiming to be as good as the kids in the National Spelling Bee.
Yeah, like we're not trying to spell really hard words.
All right. Yeah.
Let's do it.
You want to go?
Yeah, I'll beat you.
You've done bitten off more than you could chew.
I'll beat you fair and square.
What's the punishment?
Just like when you thought I couldn't name all 50 states on a map.
You didn't.
Yes, I did.
The Not bet correctly. Was the states and the capitals, and you didn't do it.
The original bet was the states, and then you knew I could do that easily.
No.
So you're like, we'll do the capitals, too.
That's not what happened at all.
Do the capitals, too.
No, that's... you came in full force. I can name all 50 states and capitals, no problem.
No,
on
I
blank
didn't.
Map.
No,
yes,
I
you
didn't.
Did.
No, I didn't.
You said, here's what actually happened. You said, I can find all 50 states on the map, and I said, that's cool. I was like, can you do capitals?
Easily.
Like, yeah. You said, yeah, I can do the capitals. I'll probably get at least 48 of them. Well,
yeah,
we'll
I never said I could.
And then
I
you got like 40.
I got more than 40.
You did
I
not.
I never said confidently I could name all the capitals.
It was actually 44. I have it on my
I named them all
notes.
When I was
in What's the punishment
grade,
for the
B? I forgot
You them. Missed the first two we did. I'll go back and find it. You started with like Washington and thought it was Seattle.
It's Olympia.
You know now.
I knew before.
Go get the
I did
damn
not say
tape.
Seattle.
I'll find the tape.
I know for a fact I didn't say Seattle. I know Olympia, Washington,
and
damn
then
it.
You missed Oregon right after it.
I did not.
I'll go get the damn tape.
Oregon is Salem.
You know now.
I knew then.
You didn't.
Yeah, I did. You get the tape. You'll know.
Cam, run an advanced Twitter search on my Twitter and search states and capitals and find which date we did this.
John2_read.
You're going to be sorry, buddy. And when I smoke you in this spelling bee.
You're going to get your ass kicked in this spelling bee. I just hope you're ready for it. Guy.
What's our punishment for the loser?
We'll figure it out.
15 minutes of the other person's phone is still on the board.
Let's catch a break. We'll come back on the other side. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. We only got about, 6 minutes before the end of the hour, so we're not going to do the spelling bee just yet. We'll save that for hour three. Hour three, it's either going to be a great hour of radio or a terrible hour of radio. We got headlines, pump the brakes or keep rolling. We got this or that, and now we have the spelling bee. Just by the way, do you have your this or that topics? Thumbs up from Ben Lee. Okay, good.
That would be something. I just got a text, by the way, from Andrew.
Intern Andrew?
He said, that would be something if I got ran over by Boeheim. So Andrew is okay. Good to know Andrew is okay.
That would be something, Andrew. You'd be dead.
I miss Andrew so much. What a guy.
I'm glad that he's still... Did you text him or is he just listening to the podcast?
He's just listening to the podcast.
I like that Andrew still supports the brand.
Glad
he was listening
to
Voluntary Reaction the other night and... He's already fired up the Hour One podcast. He's like, I'm alive, guys. Don't worry about me.
I said, glad to know you're okay. We miss you, pal.
You going to give him an XOXO?
Yeah, XOXO.
Always got to go with the XOXO.
Yeah.
You always got to tell your friends you miss them, you love them, hugs and kisses, all that good stuff.
Yeah, because you never know when they're going to get struck by a car on the interstate. It does happen more than you'd think. That's not even a joke.
I know.
I wouldn't joke about something in a distasteful manner. That does happen pretty often.
Like I said, I had a friend get hit.
Yeah. Was it on the interstate?
Yeah, he's lucky he didn't die. Like he had to go to the hospital, and like he had some... It was actually a blessing. It was weird. Like it's a crazy story how it happened. Like they were coming back from vacation. He was standing up on his truck, on his tailbed, trying to get something out of the truck. They had stuff tied down. Car hit the bed of his truck.
Jesus.
Threw him up. But he went to the hospital.
He's on like the shoulder?
Yeah, but he went to the hospital with injuries, and then they found out he had like a tumor. Like in his brain, he had something in his brain they had to have surgery and remove. So it was like really a blessing. It actually ended up saving his life.
Otherwise, he may not have found it, yeah.
Yeah, so like it was crazy how it happened. It was almost like divine intervention, but...
Well, now that scares me. Because now I'm sitting here thinking about, like, what do we all have wrong with us that we just don't know about? You know what I mean?
Yeah. You can't really go through life thinking
that way.
I know.
What do they call that? Like a hypochondriac? That's someone who thinks they're always sick.
Yeah.
Like I could have a tumor right now and I just don't know about it. It is scary though when you think about it.
It is. You just got to try not to think about it.
Yeah. Just wait till it happens. Like,
sure.
Yeah.
Because if not, you'll be in the doctor's office every other day.
That's a good point. Health insurance premiums go up.
It's a whole other story.
Yeah.
You want an update on the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I guess, yeah.
Le'Veon Bell not getting the transition tag.
Which tag will he get?
He's not getting any tag.
No tag.
He's officially a free agent.
Goodbye.
Then he goes and what do you do whenever you are told that you're a free agent? You go out and you tweet some Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
Quotes. That's what you do. You go out and you tweet what's on MLK's grave. The free at last, thank God Almighty, I'm free at last.
Le'Veon likes his money.
And another story came out about Le'Veon Bell yesterday where the New York Post reports that the New York Jets think Le'Veon Bell's gotten fat. They think he's gained like 40 pounds of fat since he didn't play this year.
Le'Veon's fat?
That's what they think.
He says, free at last, thank God Almighty I am free at last. That sounds like the start of a song.
Word on the street is that Le'Veon Bell has ballooned to 260 pounds. Which is really big for a running back.
That reminds me of that old Giants running back. What was his name?
Brandon Jacobs?
Yeah, Brandon Jacobs.
Reminds me of Eddie Lacy.
Yeah, big fat Eddie Lacy. He was a big fat guy.
Surely he didn't get up to 260, right? Like, if you're Le'Veon Bell and you weren't playing football, you had to still be working out, right? I mean, I know he was hanging out in Miami on jet skis and running around, but Miami also seems like a city that you don't want to get fat in. Like, if he was staying in Pittsburgh during the offseason or and during the season, I might be a little worried. Miami, though, on the beach? Surely he wasn't getting pudgy down there, right?
I don't know, man. That beach life...
I mean, yeah, you're on the beach. You're shirtless. You don't want to get pudgy. You got to stay best shape possible.
But that's a comfortable life. That's a luxurious life. Like, who wants to work out, you know, if you're on the beach? You're drinking. You're eating good seafood. You probably get fat if you're just living a beach life. Beach bum. You ever heard that term, beach bum?
Yeah, bum. Implies no money. Le'Veon had money.
Well, he had money. I think beach bum, I think like lazy. Not necessarily just no money.
Sure.
They just, you know, someone just, you hang around on the beach all day, you'll get fat. Get fat.
Some people think the Jets could be just trying to sabotage the market for Le'Veon Bell. Either trying to scare other teams away or maybe make excuses for their fans when they don't sign him. But the new report is that Le'Veon Bell is A, free at last. He's thanking God Almighty that he is free at last. He's also maybe gotten fat. And the Pittsburgh Steelers GM came out and said, Big Ben has the right to do whatever he wants. If he wants to call out players, he can call it because he's Big Ben. He's been in the league for 15 years. He's got his Super Bowl, and he's a winner. Which I thought was kind of weird, but I guess now that Le'Veon and Antonio Brown's gone, it's just Big Ben and a bunch of young skill players, guys, right? Like James Conner doesn't have an ego yet. Juju Smith-Schuster's just happy to be there. So it's Big Ben's locker room, and we also got a little bit of an update on where the dissension really came from. I found this interesting that really the crack in the relationship really took off in week 12. Remember when they lost to Denver?
I do remember that. I watched that game on my phone driving down the interstate.
They lost to Denver, and Big Ben threw an interception in the end zone at the end of the game that he was trying to throw the ball to Antonio Brown.
Yes.
And Big Ben, as most of these quarterbacks do in these towns, they have their own little radio show where they'll take calls and they'll kind of have an insight into the team. They'll usually do like an hour a week or something like that. But on his radio show, Big Ben called out Antonio Brown and said he wishes that he would have thrown the ball to Juju Smith-Schuster because Antonio Brown didn't run a flat enough route. And that really rubbed Antonio Brown the wrong way, that he was getting called out not only for running the wrong route, but also Big Ben saying, I wish I'd have went to Juju. And that's where the relationship really started cracking.
How do we know that?
That was in the ESPN piece I read yesterday. I don't know if that just came from players inside the locker room, team sources around Antonio Brown or what, but it was in the piece I read.
Mm-hmm.
That Big Ben calling out Brown on his radio show after that loss is really what really started driving those two apart.
What can Brown do for you?
Not run a flat enough route, I guess, in the end zone against Denver.
Apparently not.
He had to just really twist the knife a little bit, like, yeah, I wish I'd have gone to Juju. Knowing that Antonio Brown has to be a little insecure when it comes to his, you know, place on the team. Like, everyone likes Juju better. He's the young, fun guy.
It's amazing Pittsburgh's going to lose their two best players. And how do they come back, you know?
I mean, just if you're asking me what I would rather have, would I rather have Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell or Big Ben, I think I would have taken the two skill players and let Big Ben go, but I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe quarterbacks are more important than we're giving them credit for. I just know that Big Ben is kind of, in my opinion, more a part of the problem than the long-term solution in Pittsburgh. Hour two in the books, hour three on deck, jam-packed hour, spelling bee, this or that, headlines, bump the brakes or keep rolling. Next.